Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Who is this?
Thanks.
Pardon me?
Faith.
Oh, well, this is Helen. I thought Vicky was on.
I am on now. Hello.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to welcome everyone to Freedom's Way Monday and say we're glad that you're here. If anybody has opened this from a digital or archive source, this message, we ask that you remember we're on a live teleconference call and people will be calling in from all over the place. So to that end, we're going to hold off about 3 to 5 minutes for them to have an opportunity to get here. It's not 8:30 anyway. And anytime you digital listeners that you would like to join us live with our messages, you can dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. That spells free me on your telephone keypad. If you want to know more about Freedom's Way and what to support our ministry, our website is Freedoms with an S, Way, Ministries.com, and Ministries is plural. So welcome, and I heard Helen, and who else do we have so far?
Faith.
I'm sorry?
Faith from the Northwest.
Faith, Faith.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Freedom's Way Northwest, checking in.
Yes, indeed.
We are now officially coast to coast with the Holy Ghost.
I love
Amen.
That.
Hello, Vicky.
Like to say, yes.
It's Joan. Joan.
Well, welcome.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Hi, Vicki. It's Helen.
Thank you for being here, Helen.
Mm-hmm. Good to be here.
You are sounding stronger than ever.
Yeah. After your prayer the other day, I can't remember if I called you. I called somebody. I don't know. But I really was that particular day. The next day, I didn't seem to have it, and I thought, no, I tried to remember what you prayed, but I just kind of prayed the same kind of prayer you did, and I'm going.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. How are you?
Yeah.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Who is that?
Oh, well, it's Marie.
Marie and Kathy.
Hi, Phil and Vicki. This is Finn.
Hi, Finn. Welcome.
Hi, Phil and Vicki. This is Charles.
Hi, Charles. God bless you, brother.
Hi, Charles.
See you back at you. Back at you.
Hi, Finn.
Say hello, caller. Or not. No obligations, hallelujah. What am I doing? I am welcoming people. Anybody else want to say hello that I didn't catch?
Hi, Miss Vicki. Me and Annette's here tonight.
Great, Mitch. Thank you. Hi, Annette.
Hey.
Good to have you.
Good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Praise the Lord. Okay, we got about another minute while we are waiting. And I just want to say this is 9/11. This is the anniversary of one of the greatest tragedies of our history, our recent history. It was 22 years ago when the planes were flown into the Twin Towers in New York. And I just want to say, Lord, thank you for sustaining our country. Thank you for continuing to bring comfort to the families, the children, the everyone who lost someone on that day. And to never allow us, Lord, to forget to honor our first responders and our military and the strength of this nation to fight for and uphold our Constitution.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to say hello?
Hi, Vicki. Steve from Montana.
Good to have you here, Steve.
Yeah, always good to be here.
Did you make it back from your trip?
Oh, yeah, we made it back yesterday. Travel was really probably one of the best trips we ever had.
Oh, good. Okay.
Cindy's working Praise tonight. I think she might be listening.
Okay. Well, good to have you here. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your phones? Okay. For anyone who might be new on the line, what that means is that your phone will be muted. So if there's any background noise, if you're in your vehicle or washing your dishes, we will not hear what's going on in your background. But you will still be able to hear us. So just hold on for 1 minute, please. Hallelujah.
Good evening and welcome. This is Phil Burdett here. I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and we are Freedom's Way Ministries. Our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ. Anything we can do in that area, we are glad to help. And we feel these teachings on Mondays and Friday nights are instrumental in helping us grow to be more like Him and to exhibit those qualities and enjoy the benefits of kingdom living and kingdom authority. So we're so glad to have you. We have a powerful teaching for you tonight. Make yourself comfortable, relax, be ready to be blessed from the Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and get us started and pray us in. And here we go. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and that you have a good message for your people tonight. You will bless them abundantly. In all ways, thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. That we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell to blunt, distort this message in any way. I say, Satan, you get behind us. And Holy Spirit, have your way with your people tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We are writing another book, and the title of it is Higher Faith, Greater Power, Deeper Peace. Tonight you will hear Chapter 10, which is titled Believing in the Heart and Not Doubting. Believing in the Heart and Not Doubting. One of the reasons that we are doing this online, and this is aside from the reading of the chapter, of course, is to get your input. If there is something that you feel needs to be said that hasn't been said, something pertinent to tonight's chapter, or if something was not clear, then we can make it right before it is published. Hallelujah. So let's get started. You've probably heard that we have to lay down our rights if we want to enjoy the benefits of kingdom living. Specifically, this refers to those rights to exhibit feelings opposed to God's word. For example, our right to act on our anger or unforgiveness, to take vengeance, to retaliate against others, our right to be prideful, to stir up discord, be depressed or to murmur and complain, and many other thoughts and feelings in which we have believed we are justified to express. Jesus is the one who laid down his rights for us all. And he truly is the one whose right it is to everything. That said, there is a right you can pick up and live in. The right to believe with God's faith. What gives us this right? This right to believe with God's faith is a part of our covenant with God Almighty through the blood of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And here's the reason for our redemption. Galatians 3, verse 14 and 15. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto.
Even a covenant made between men, if it is confirmed, cannot be voided.
Amen.
How much more a covenant made by God for us? So let's go on reading. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, which is Christ. You and I are now Christ in the earth. He's in us and we're in him. Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect.
Amen.
Galatians 3. Verses 22 and 23. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. This verse tells us that until Jesus Christ, higher faith was shut up. it was closed off from us. Galatians 3, verses 24 and 25. Wherefore the law, the thing that closed us off from higher faith, was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law has served to its purpose in bringing us to Christ and to his faith. Now we no longer need the law to teach us. We are now taught by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We believe, therefore we are Christ's, and we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You and I are covenant children of God. Gentile believers and Jewish believers. You and I are covenant children of God, and our covenant with God cannot be voided. No one can take away your right to believe or any other right written in the covenant. Before Jesus, we were outside the covenant of God, not being the physical seed of Abraham. But now we are the seed. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham by faith. We are no longer strangers. I'm speaking of the Gentiles here. We are not aliens. We have joined the commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians 2, verse 12 and 13. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The relationship of David and Jonathan gives us a picture of our covenant. The son of Saul, king of Israel, made a covenant with David because he loved David and their hearts were aligned. They were in agreement. There was a soul tie between Jonathan and David. Most of the time we think about soul ties as being ungodly, but there are good soul ties as well as evil ones. Just as there are generational blessings as well as generational curses.
Amen. Say that again.
There are generational blessings as well as generational curses. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. This covenant is symbolic of the Son of God stripping himself of his rights and riches, and turning them all over to us. Jonathan was in line to be king, and by giving David his royal robe, his covering, his weaponry, and his bow, his message was, you now have everything a king has. You're a king. Jesus Christ did the same for us. And we now have the right to rule as kings in the kingdom of God because of our King of Kings.
Well, I hope you all are following this. And I hope when this book is published and you get a copy, that you just highlight all this in your yellow marker so you can refer back to it and not forget who you are. Amen. Okay. Later on, after Saul and Jonathan were killed, David searched for a descendant of Jonathan to bless him. 2 Samuel 9:3, and the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet." Given down to verses 6 and 7. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold your servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Hallelujah. The covenant between these two, David and Jonathan, was strong. And David honored it even after the death of Jonathan by finding Jonathan's son Mephibosheth and taking care of him for the rest of his life. If we follow this analogy of Jonathan symbolizing Jesus and David symbolizing us, we have to ask ourselves, are we seeking the children of God to bless them and care for them? Mephibosheth was lame. He had a flaw. But David took him in and nurtured him. Do we nurture those in the body of Christ who are flawed, who have problems, who are lame in some area of their lives? Our covenant with God extends beyond our own private little circle of need. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I'm certain, I know I feel convicted in that, so I'm certain others do as well. Seems to be a very important area of our faith, our life in Christ. Hallelujah. So in addition to the right to believe as heirs of the promise, we also have a right to expect to be heard. In the scriptures about David and Mephibosheth, David said he wanted to show kindness towards the house of Saul. That Hebrew word is chesed, under which comes from the root meaning to bow in courtesy to an equal. Our right to expect to be heard is a result of the chesed of our covenant relationship with God because of Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are now his righteousness in the earth, and that righteousness commands a right to be heard.
Amen. Amen. Say that again.
We are now his righteousness in the earth, and that righteousness commands a right to be heard. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Hallelujah, Lord. Our high priest guarantees our being heard because of Hesed. The kindness of God in a covenantal position, which says we are equal with Jesus Christ. Scripture establishes us as the righteousness of God. It establishes us as the seed of Abraham. It establishes us as having the name of Jesus. That name, the name we have, is his character. His character. It isn't a mantra to tack on to the end of a prayer. It isn't a word on a page. It isn't a magic charm. It is the character which we step into as we step out of ourselves. I should say that again. The name of Jesus is his character, which we step into as we step out of ourselves. When we are completely in Christ, God can see and hear only Jesus. When God looks at us, he sees his Son. When he listens to us as we agree with him, he hears his Son. You are in the deep end, children. I love it. Okay. Moving from being a doubter to a believer is a matter of the heart. Remember, our foundational rock of higher faith is no more consciousness of sin. Evidence of higher faith in a believer is the simple confidence that we are forgiven. We are not focused on what we do wrong, but on what Jesus has done right. God is greater than our hearts, which remind us of sin. 1 John 3:20 and 21. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God.
Amen.
And I just want to say, as you read this part, be mindful of the note takers.
Okay.
Because they're going to want to write that down.
Right. Praise the Lord. So here's some things to write down. There are a few things we can declare as daily reminders of who we are in Christ. Okay, so these are points. Point one, I am the righteousness of God and can come boldly before the throne of grace any time of the day or night.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am the righteousness of God and can come boldly before the throne of grace, any time of the day or night. My declaration of God's word activates angels to work on my behalf and perform the words I speak. My declaration of God's word activates angels to work on my behalf and perform the words I speak. I offer the sacrifices of praise to the Lord with my every action and attitude. I offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord with my every action and attitude. As I humble myself under the hand of God, He raises me up. As I humble myself under the hand of God, He raises me up. I do not have a care. I have cast all my cares unto the Lord, because He cares for me. I do not have a care. I have cast all my cares unto the Lord, because He cares for me. Hallelujah. I am truly persuaded of the truthfulness of God, and I am living in His truth. I am truly persuaded of the truthfulness of God, and I am living in His truth.
Amen.
Faith works for me as I work for God, because I live a life of love toward everyone. Faith works for me as I work for God, because I live a life of love toward everyone.
Amen. Faith works by love.
Amen. All these declarations of truth will help move the truth from your head to your heart and increase your faith and trust in the living God. Believing with our hearts and not just our heads is vital to receiving the fruits of faith in our lives. You might want to make a daily declarations list and put it where you will see it every day. Usually that's the bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
Read your declarations out loud. The reason for reading out loud is twofold. First of all, faith comes by hearing. And when we read the word out loud, we hear it with both the inner ear and the outer ear. Hearing. The second good reason for making godly declarations out loud is so that all the host of heaven and hell can hear you. God is the only one who can hear our thoughts. Angels can't, demons can't, and people can't. Your thoughts are private to you and God only. Angels need to hear where we stand, so they can respond to God's word. Devils need to hear where we stand for the same reason. They respond, and their response is normally to run before they get hurt. Hallelujah. Get out of here, Satan.
A major step in moving faith from the head to the heart is one we've touched on before. Consider Jesus. Our faith is founded on the integrity of a person, Jesus Christ, who cannot lie. This person, Jesus, by His crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, made the way possible for every single promise of God to become as it is declared to be, yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. Yes, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God by us. Oh, thank you, Father. We are to consider Jesus. to remember and meditate on all he did and why he did it. Everything Jesus did for us in obedience to the will of his Father, God Almighty. Everything he is doing now, he does for us. We are to consider Jesus and his strength, not our worldly circumstance and our weaknesses. His faith is within us, and his faith never fails. There is nothing wrong with our faith when we consider Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds.
For those who are still having trouble believing God, what's the problem?
Yeah.
It could be that we're considering Jesus in terms of what we know and observe, that that man in his natural strength and wisdom can do, rather than what he did and is doing in the strength and wisdom of God.
Amen.
Or maybe we have decided not to believe. After all, it's a choice. After Jesus' resurrection, he revealed himself to those who were gathered together, and they began to spread the word that the Lord was risen. One of the disciples gave us a good example of how we can choose to be without faith. We'll find that in John 20, verses 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Wow, what a declaration. I will not believe unless I see. Thomas chose not to believe the truth of the resurrection, and Jesus called him faithless. But in his mercy, the Lord showed himself to Thomas and admonished him to be believing, not faithless. He then said something very interesting. The Lord told Thomas he missed a blessing. When we refuse to believe until we see, we will miss something the Lord has for us. Had Thomas chosen to believe the report of his friends of the resurrection of Christ, he would not have missed 8 days of the Lord's power and peace. 8 is God's number, which represents new beginnings. Perhaps that's the blessing that he missed. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. The scripture doesn't tell us. Pardon me. But we do know the word is true. God is faithful. And we need to be believing and not faithless. As we said before, the world may say that seeing is believing, but God says believing is seeing. Thank you, Lord.
John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas was the first person to recognize and declare Jesus as God. Was it because Jesus proved himself to Thomas? Was it because that personal encounter with the Lord removed all doubt? Jesus is still proving himself and offering a personal encounter with his people. Heart faith grows out of the Word of God. In his desire for man to know him, God gave us his innermost thoughts and purposes. Jesus wants relationship with us. He desires children who know him and love him. He's not looking for robots. To this end, to help establish relationship, he gave us the Bible so we can get to know him better every day. As we know him more, we find that we trust him in a deeper way. We can then begin to allow him to love us and care for us and pour out his blessings on us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those blessings, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. John 15:7. Jesus is speaking here. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The spirit of the word is the very heart of God and the essence of life. The fruit of faith comes to maturity as the word goes in and the power comes out." The fruit of faith comes to maturity as the word goes in and the power comes out. If we abide in the Word, Christ Jesus, learning, growing, and sharing in love, then the Word abides in us, working, changing, and manifesting in love, then heart faith will grow. No longer will we just know a thing in our heads. We will have an experiential kind of knowing in our hearts. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Having the Word of God in us and holding on to grace are two key elements in heart belief.
What are they?
Having the Word of God in us and holding on to grace.
Amen.
The concept of grace is God's forgiveness and favor on us, even though we might think we don't deserve God's favor and forgiveness. But the word itself, grace, means graciousness of manner, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Holding on to grace means we recognize, accept, and believe, and hold on to the divine influence of God and allow him to make us a reflection of his divine nature, the graciousness of his manner.
Thank you, Lord.
Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This can only come as we spend time with the Lord, especially in and through His Word. The Word is God speaking to us. It is our contact with God. The Word holds God's deepest thoughts. It reveals His highest purposes. It lays out His greatest plans. The Word teaches us how to praise, how to pray, how to love, how to respond to situations and people. How to forgive, how to live in victory, how to overcome, how to destroy the works of hell. Everything.
Thank you, Lord.
It stands for the unseen Jesus imparting His wisdom. To meditate in the Word of God is to have a personal visit with Jesus Christ. When we choose to allow the Word to have dominion over our lives, we are in essence giving dominion of our lives over to Jesus. God and His Word are one. It is faith, His faith, working through us by love, which enables the Word to prevail over every unclean thought, every challenging circumstance, and every demonic spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, you read something there that had to be straight from the Holy Spirit, because I do not remember writing it. Hallelujah. The Word holds God's deepest thoughts. It reveals His highest purposes. It lays out His greatest plans. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read this again because I'm just going to read it again. The Word is God speaking to us. It is our contact with God. The Word holds God's deepest thoughts. It reveals His highest purposes. It lays out His greatest plans. The Word teaches us how to praise, how to pray, how to love, how to respond to situations and people, how to forgive, how to live in victory, how to overcome, how to destroy the works of hell, everything. It stands in for the unseen Jesus imparting His wisdom. To meditate in the Word of God is to have a personal visit with Christ Jesus. When we choose to allow the Word to have dominion over our lives, we are in essence giving dominion of our lives over to Jesus. God and His Word are one. It is faith, His faith working through us by love, which enables the Word to prevail over every unclean thought, every challenging circumstance, and every demonic spirit. Hallelujah. Moving on. Faith makes the Word prevail. When the Word prevails over our thought processes, faith rises up, and success is a certainty. The inward witness of the Holy Ghost becomes stronger in us as we allow the Word to prevail over our consciousness. That witness works in our spirit man even as we sleep. The more Word we take into our consciousness, the more our spirits are able to rise against the enemy while we are sleeping. The Word prevails over the onslaught of the enemy day or night. Success is inevitable. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word. I am going to invite you all, if this word has touched you, because it has touched me tonight. Hallelujah. It has touched me. If this word has touched you and you want to make a declaration of your faith tonight and just agree with what you have heard and go a little deeper and gain a little more peace and a little greater power, then I am going to suggest that you pray this prayer out loud with me. You already know why we speak words out loud. Father God, thank you for the victory of faith.
Father God, thank you for the victory of faith.
You are an awesome God.
You are an awesome God.
I ask that you help me.
I ask that you help me.
Tap into the resource of your power.
Tap into the resource of your power.
And your presence within me.
And your presence within me.
So that I use your living faith.
So that I use your living faith.
Thank you for the right to believe.
Thank you for the right to believe.
And for your covenant of grace.
For your covenant of grace.
Show me how to show the same grace to others, Lord.
Show me how to show the same grace to others, Lord.
That you have shown me.
That you have shown me.
Teach me how to walk by faith and love.
Teach me how to walk by faith and love.
And not by sight and criticism.
And not by sight and criticism.
I want to move from being a doubter to being a believer.
Being a doubter to being a believer.
I want to trust you in all things.
I want to trust you in all things.
Just as Jesus did.
Just as Jesus did.
I need to move these truths from my head to my heart.
I need to move these truths from my head to my heart.
So that I can make declarations of faith, Father.
That I can make declarations of faith, Father.
Without wavering.
Without wavering.
I am your righteousness.
I am your righteousness.
The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God.
I can come boldly before the throne of grace.
I can come boldly before the throne of grace.
Any time of the day or night.
Any time of the day or night.
My declaration of your word, God.
My declaration of your word, God.
Activates angels to work on my behalf.
Activates angels to work on my behalf.
And perform the words I speak.
And perform the words I speak.
I offer the sacrifice of praise to you, Lord.
I offer the sacrifice of praise to you, Lord.
With my every action and attitude.
With my every action and attitude.
As I humble myself under your hand, Father.
As I humble myself under your hand, Father.
You raise me up.
You raise me up.
I do not have a care.
I do not have a care.
Because I have cast all my care onto Jesus.
Because I have cast all my care onto Jesus.
Because he cares for me.
Because he cares for me.
I am truly persuaded of your truthfulness, God.
I am fully persuaded of your truthfulness, God.
I am living in your truth.
I am living in your truth.
Faith works for me.
Faith works for me.
As I work for you.
As I work for you.
Because I live a life of love toward everyone.
Because I live a life of love toward everyone.
Oh, Lord, help me choose truth every day.
Oh, Lord, help me choose truth every day.
And not be distracted by the cares of the world.
Not be distracted by the cares of the world.
Or the lies of the enemy.
Or the lies of the enemy.
Bring me into that place of refuge.
Bring me into that place of refuge.
In your word.
In your word.
Faith which overcomes the world.
Faith which overcomes the world.
The place of faith where my spirit man rises up.
The place of faith where my spirit man rises up.
Even in my sleep.
Even in my sleep.
To dominate hell.
To dominate hell.
And destroy the enemy of my soul.
And to destroy the enemy of my soul.
I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ
is all powerful and effective.
Is all powerful and effective.
To keep me in your will, Father.
To keep me in your will, Father.
Your word.
Your word.
And your way.
And your way.
And out of the snares of the devil.
Out of the snares of the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I am lifted up, Lord, in your presence, and I am just so grateful to you tonight for this word. And I thank you, God, that even though you are using me to put this word out there, it still speaks to me. Thank you, God, that it's not my word. It's yours. And I am so humbled and grateful. Hallelujah. Anybody has a comment or a question, you can unmute your phone with the *6 key. If you are on a computer or I have joined through the internet, you know how to unmute yourself. If you don't, I've heard it's very simple. I've not tried it.
Hi, Vicki.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. It's Helen. There is something extremely special about tonight. I can understand how you feel. It was great. I especially like the declarations that Phil went over. I thought that was really good. Then that there was a statement that you made, and it was very, very long, and I won't ask you to go back. I'll wait for the book to come, but the spirit of the word, I can't see it that well. Anyway, it was really great. I hope you get the book finished quickly. All right. If I could come down and do your housework or something, I'm glad to do that for you to write, but I can't do that. So anyway, thank you again for tonight, both of you.
You're so welcome. And the thing that you're probably referring to is what I said about the word of God, that the word holds God's deepest thoughts, mm-hmm. reveals his highest purposes,
yep,
and lays out his greatest plans. That one really hit me tonight.
All right, thank you very much.
Do you get up kind of early? Like 9:30 or so? Didn't hear me. She was muting. Any other comments or questions?
I'd like to share something.
Okay, Finn.
I was really blessed tonight. There were so many things that were good. I had a chance to write that down, and it's when you went back through it that I got it. Words. Spoken, God, when he speaks his words to us, it's words spoken to us for his deepest thoughts, his highest purposes, and his greatest plan. And it's amazing how he can speak to you. You know, we had a pastor that came to our church, Mauricio Gonzalez from Shake the Nations, and he had a pamphlet on David and Mephibosheth and Jonathan, an article in a monthly flyer that they put out. And I've read it over and over, and I got a deeper revelation of something. And when David had a heart to go, and David's kind of a representative of Jesus and Jesus's heart, he had a heart to go to Mephibosheth. And what Mauricio Gonzalez says, Mephibosheth means dispeller of shame. And I thought about that, but what does that mean? And I felt like the Lord spoke to me tonight, but what you were saying was that because David went after him and brought him into the king's castle to live with him, and Mephibosheth was willing to do it, he got his shame dispelled because he was brought into the king's castle. And I'm thinking that goes for all of us. God's delivered us from our shame. And then he talked about Lobadar. He came out of the land of Lobadar, which means out of pastureless places. And I thought that's what God has done too. He's taken us out of pastureless places where there's no food, there's no word. He's brought us into a green pasture. And it hit me. Here I heard something months ago, and just by what you brought out, then the Lord was able to speak to me something else about even my own shame, how he's brought me into the king's castle. And through faith and through what you're talking about, I don't have to be shamed anymore. I don't have to live with that anymore. So, this message is great.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Finn. God bless you. Oh, God is good. God is good. Anybody else got something to say tonight?
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the bread tonight, brother and sister. We all full up out here.
Just bless you, Mitt.
Oh, thank you, sister. I got my beautiful wife over here. Me and her are listening in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, such a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Vicki and Phil. It was simply marvelous. And I just think it's so helpful and it's so freeing to know that it's the Lord and His grace and Jesus in us. And I don't know, just thank you for what I took a lot of notes. So I'll be meditating on a lot of this. And thank you. And Lord bless you. Love you.
Thank you, Joan. And the blessings back to you.
Thank you so much. Really helpful.
Pastor Phil is going to close our meeting in just a minute. Is there anybody else that has a comment or a question tonight? If not,
hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight, and we ask that you seal it in our hearts and that we have understanding of what you're speaking to us in this day and hour. Lord, strengthen us in our walk in you. Strengthen us, Lord. Be with us. We are seeking you boldly, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for your anointing on us to prosper and to be in health and to do good works in your name. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Thank you for your blessings. And as Aaron, the high priest, the children of Israel, blessed the children of Israel according to God's instruction to Moses with the Aaronic, called the Aaronic benediction in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. And we close with this, to leave a blessing on you, to bless you, as you are the children of God. So God bless you as you receive the Aaronic benediction, the blessings of God. And I do this in Hebrew and English. Praise the Lord. Yivarechach Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha, Yo'er Adonai.
Adonai, Panav Eilecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We receive it. We turn it back to you in praise. And we just thank you that you're with us, Lord, and that you're encamping your angels around your people to give them a prosperous week, a week of good health, prosperity in the financial realm, and everything they do, that it will prosper in you in this week. In the name of Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We will be back here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. This message will be repeated as the Holy Spirit brings it on Friday at 8:30. Hallelujah. And I just want to say to Finn, thank you for sharing that, because it's a testimony to how the Holy Spirit moves when you're hearing God's word. He expands it in you. He expands it. I remember so many times as I'm taking notes in a message that many of the notes that I take were never spoken from the pulpit, but they came from the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Finn, for that confirmation. That confirmation of Holy Spirit presence. And good night, everyone. We love you.
In the morning.
And see you in the morning.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. God bless. Good night.
Thank you, Miss. Bye now.
Good night, bro.
Bye bye. Bless
you all. We love you.
We love you too.